you talk about when they talked about when the promo came? They said season.
Yeah, I saw. I noticed that too. They said season.
Hold up.
Okay, but Magnum PI is getting picked up. Why the fuck can't Legacies get picked up?
To admit that I cried this episode would be sad.
I didn't.
I cried this episode, I'm not gonna lie.
That was literally a fucking shit show.
So I guess I'm gonna be holding the positivity because I actually like this episode.
Like, the Kaleo scenes were fucking boring as hell for me. Kaleo doesn't fucking love Caleb. Like, they've been together for what, like 2 months?
Did I say that though? Haven't I been saying that though?
Yeah.
I've been saying that it was gonna happen and
I think they're literally pulling
a Bonnie.
Yeah, we called this like back when you and I first were like seeing him in Limbo we're just like, oh yeah.
I didn't hate this episode. It was a little bit boring. I didn't hate it. Like I didn't like okay, it was if I had to like rewatch between this episode and 407, I would rewatch this episode. Like,
100%, yeah.
Like, 100%, but.
Don't even remember what episode was that.
That was the cowboy one, Vince.
Oh, hell no.
People bribe me. I hate Harry Styles' story. I can't go to peace. I'm watching everybody die, and I'm just like, so how? Why would you want to put that on him?
Okay. But the whole time, she was saying all these things and she's describing how like Landon's selfless and he's a miracle and stuff like that. And I'm thinking Josie could never. Like I said,
he's surprised visitor's gonna be Caleb in the life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally hate it.
He's gonna come back with Klaus.
Literally hate it.
You know that he's gonna come back with Klaus.
He's gonna come back the last 2 minutes of the show and be like, oh. And it's
what if they change the title, right? What if the title change is the fact that Hope leaves and then like she gets in the car and then she like just looks over and Landon's sitting in the passenger seat. Who else said that? Hold on. I gotta figure this out. Hold on.
You're a miracle?
No. It's a Mizzy thing. Hey guys, it's Iz.
Hey guys, it's Notch.
Hey, it's Robin.
Hi guys, it's Vit.
Today we're here with season 4 episode 18 discussion and review of Legacies. Obviously, if you can tell, we're back from hiatus, meaning that we have 2 more weeks of Legacies before the season finale. And what's your opinions on episodes, guys?
I think we're 50-50 on this.
Yeah.
I personally liked it. I didn't like it wasn't one of my favorites, but I didn't hate the episode. I think because everything that happened I kind of saw coming, so it wasn't really like to the point where it's like I had high expectations for what was going to happen and then and nothing that I had thought was going to happen happened. So I actually enjoyed this episode. I feel like the only things that was very hard to get through were the freaking Ken scenes. I wanted to shoot myself, but I like it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, everything is not it.
One day, I am going to snap, and then you will never hear from me again.
Like, there was nothing that would make me want to watch the episode at all. Ken, Aurora basically trying to better herself to be manipulated again, sit here and be the chauffeur. But yeah, and then you got this lady, this fairy woman gaslighting the shit out of Landon to take her job because she's tired. You got us waiting to like the last minute to hear this fucking story about Limbo and what Ken did because yeah, let's wait now just to show that he's more trash. You got Cleo already realizing that Ken can literally, he's indestructible in this realm, and she goes again. I don't know how it took Caleb 20 minutes to get there. She left you gone for a long while. And the meeting scene was okay. Other than that, and like, you know, the Hope and Lizzie scenes I liked. Other than that, no.
I enjoyed the Hope and Lizzie stuff. I enjoyed all the Landon stuff because, like, you know, it's Landon. Anything with Hope, obviously. Although the fact that there was no Landon mention was kind of like, but I get that she's deflecting. I get she's deflecting right now.
The only mention of Landon to her was through a lyric.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Like that's actually best to Hope shit about Landon.
The Kaleo scenes, they just don't hit for me. They're just not. I love Cleo. I do. I'm not a huge fan of Caleb right now, but I love Cleo. And like the last scene with them with the eyes line, that was probably the best scene that they had in the entire series so far together. And I mean, we know Caleb isn't actually dead because like we saw the stills. Which I think they kind of like shit the fuck out of that one, but
they're like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
On today's episode of How Fucked Up Is Fucked Up. That's fucked up.
But, you know, and then I did actually really like the Lizzie and MG stuff because I thought that was really cute. And you know, I'm not a Mizzy shipper, but I did think that was cute. And the Methan with the bus stop, like that was, yeah. Vit, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm just pissed off, honestly. I tried to enjoy the episode, but like I have been being pissed off since the beginning of the season because of the Lander arc. We have been waiting for Lander to get like such a big plot line about his powers and everything. And he's been stuck in limbo for like this whole season and nothing. Yeah. Nothing goes forward on limbo. It gets stuck in limbo with him doing literally nothing.
Yeah, it's hard trying to talk about storylines when Landon is the most shitted on.
Yeah.
We've wasted two seasons for nothing. And we're over here for like literally since this season began, we were like, okay, well maybe he's in limbo because of Hope. And Hope just burns her humanity away with a fucking butterfly and he's still in limbo. Hasn't done nothing in limbo, spent 14 episodes in limbo to just sit around and wait to find a way for Ted to get the peace. He hasn't done anything, no development, nobody still misses him, no mentions of his powers, no mentions about being the Phoenix, nothing. He's just in limbo, taking up space. Like, I can't, even the fact that Ethan got a power storyline and Landon didn't, but y'all showed us how fast he could use them Ferryman powers, right? Amazing, y'all took that shit from Phoenix Landon within the next episode. I just cannot keep sitting here hearing these people repeat the same shit about how Landon's so, you know, just the most innocent person in the world, and yet he gets cheated like shit every episode. I cannot. Two more episodes left in this, and my son is still in limbo. Oh, because, you know, he's happy even though somebody could literally die right next to him. He's always happy. Amazing. I don't know what message you're trying to send me, but it can go to hell. I don't care.
I don't understand. What is the message? Like, he's good, and just because he's good, he have to be, like, stuck doing good forever without thinking about himself?
He can be a therapist to everybody else, but no one can help him. He's never like, talked.
She was like, oh, your life, you know, your life, you could have turned to like cruelty and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, so you realize that he had a shitty life. And yet,
yes. And yet he's acting like his fucking job.
Why is he had the shitty life? And yet he's acting like, oh, I'm happy.
The perfect choice. The perfect
And yet he has to try to do the better, to take out the better side of the another shitty situation he has been through.
He always got to suck it up. Always gotta suck it up. Whatever message y'all in the writing room trying to give me, you can shove it up your ass.
Oh my God.
I don't care. Every time something traumatic happens to Landon, it gets brushed aside. But they can mention parents' deaths 80 times. I think I'm doing this because my parents. But Landon can just see his mom just now. And he's like, okay, I'm just gonna help send people to peace. Cool.
But they do that with Hope too. Like, oh, you, like, even Alark's like, you've lost so much and blah, blah, blah.
And then,
so like, why are you not understanding her?
So the minute he finds out that Lizzie has to die, all of a sudden, yeah. Like, no, you can't do that.
Exactly. Hello?
Hope had to kill her own fucking boyfriend.
No, and Hope's speech, like that Hope's speech, I was laughing because, like, they never believed her. Literally, all they do was
believe her. They let Ben prove himself in 5 minutes. Hope, she got slaughtered by everybody. Everybody went to take her out instantly. No one went to see her side. I'm not your biggest warrior, y'all. I'm not your biggest warrior. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to fucking talk about Landon as much as I can because I spent there 2 years. 2 years. And I got to keep coming to this podcast, giving praise where it's due. Because, yes, some of these episodes are amazing. But Landon still gets this shit in on a stick. And then I got to sit here and be like, guys, renew legacy for Landon neglect. Renew legacy for Landon neglect. I'm not going to keep doing this. Landon's going to come in the finale. I'm just going to waste a whole season. This is worse than season 3. We waste a whole season of Landon just sitting in a blue fucking lighting, drinking, getting taken advantage over twice by the fucking genie, and then this fucking goddess, because for some reason they had to make the Limbo storyline match with the current one, so suddenly a god appears. She's a god now. We never saw the indication before. You know, I don't care.
He called it Valhalla, which is the Viking mythology, calling it Valhalla. Okay.
And honestly, Landon better be able to, like, walk through both worlds, because if they plan is to have him, like, get stuck on Limbo for the rest of his life, it's just another fucking prison for him.
Okay.
Like, well, another choice that he was taken by him, because he literally spent his life being abused on the foster homes. And then he goes to the school and they have the Malivore after him, and he had to do stuff because of Malivore. And now he died and he had to, like, become the ferryman. Yeah, he chose that, but, like, because he can come back because his soul is literally sealed to her for eternity. Like, this is so fucked up.
But when in season 3, though, when Cleo first arrived and she had, quote unquote, like, summoned the psychopomp, she did say, if you go back, she said psychopomps are able to travel between realms. So if Landon is the new ferryman, he is able to travel through realms, which means he's not dead and he's not alive, and he can go between the worlds.
No, bitch, because he better be able to, like, have a life with Hope, because that's all I want for him. He deserves to be happy.
But I think it might even be like a Persephone thing where it's like, because, you know, Persephone stayed 6 months of the year in the underworld and then 6 months in the real world. And so I'm wondering if Landon is kind of like, that kind of might be a route that, like, a deal that he might take. Like, maybe him and Lynn could share the role. Like, 6 months he gets to live and then 6 months he's the ferryman or whatever. Kind of like a Persephone deal. Like, because, like I said, I don't think Landon is just going to take it without some sort of, like, clause or some sort of, like, contract or some sort of, like he's too smart for that. And so there's going to be something where he's going to be like, okay, this is what I need. One, probably he's going to make the deal that we need to find Klaus and Klaus needs to say goodbye to his daughter, or she gets peace, or he gets peace, or whatever. Two, he gets to spend some time with Hope. And, like, I just don't see it just being this simple.
I at this point, you know, is positivity is only thing that y'all get from this podcast, y'all. It's the most positive from this episode, because I'm not your biggest warrior. I think I've excused so much plot holes, lack of storyline, waiting, longing for 2 years to the point that another season is hitting the dust, and another season that I'm just not watching. And I don't understand why this was even necessary. Like, by the finale, if this is actually going to be the final finale, what was Landon's arc? Oh, he wasn't meant to be a phoenix. He was meant to be a ferryman. Like, is that the arc that I'm getting? Oh, actually, the ferryman was temporary. He's just going to be Hope's boyfriend. That's his arc.
It's literally so annoying. Like, I cannot be.
Like, I thought we were going to beat this, like, Landon's, I hope, love interest allegation. You know, we're not beating it, because Landon hasn't had anything besides that. I feel like he gets flourished more when he's just by Hope. Like, there's no fucking way 2 seasons he's by himself and nothing moves. oh, we had to throw in two, like three, four Landons so we can get to all for shock value, but it doesn't continue to the plot. Oh, Landon's in a prison world. We hinted it from Milo Landon, and Milo Landon has somewhat of an arc before Landon did. That's actually fucking crazy. Like, oh, Landon, he just accepts that everything that happens to him is his fault, because that's the message you want to give. Like, I just don't care. And then you got Ken and Aurora, like, y'all, it's like, if I can't get pissed off at this, I'm getting pissed off at this. And if I'm not getting pissed off at this, I'm getting annoyed at this. So we're, the way that, to the fact that I was so mad and frustrated that he accepted this shit that I almost cried. And it wasn't even because the episode was good. It was because I was so fucking mad. Like, I've seen him get the shit out of stand for two seasons, get trashed in the fandom. And he's getting trashed in the writing room too. Like, this, like, it makes no sense. Like, Aria, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I just had a thought, and it's probably not a good one.
Oh, wow.
I
mean, throw it away, you know, being positive right now. Well, no, because
it's a Decker Star parallel. And Naj, you know what happens at the end of the series?
Oh yeah, you didn't hear me say that. You didn't hear me say that before, earlier today. I said that.
Nib hasn't watched it yet, so no spoilers.
I'm not gonna say it. I said only when Eric is dead.
Yes. So
that's
what I think, because you know how that happened, and like, so basically Landon will be waiting for hope.
He always does.
Yeah.
And if it does happen, it will never be chaotic. It will never be poetic like Dexter. So it was a flop. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to keep giving hope to these storylines. Like, no. If it happens, it's a flop. I don't care. I've hit a point to where...
If Landon ends up bringing Caleb back next episode, or which he will, Caleb has to fucking, like, grovel at Hope's feet for all the shit that he said about Landon. Or what he, you know, for all the, like...
He's gonna come back to life and be like, got another chance, and then no one ever knows or asks how he got back. Watch. And I'm gonna be more mad next week.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into the other parts that are non-Landon related right now. Okay? Let's talk about things that we actually enjoyed about this episode.
Yeah, that's hard.
Okay, but Iz, I have a couple things that I really enjoyed, and I know Iz does too, so take it away. Iz, you.
You can go first, it's fine.
Okay, I actually really liked the Lizzie and Alaric scene, where he asked her for that dance.
Yep, I was going to say the same thing.
I thought that's where I cried. Yeah, I thought that was really... I really like that, especially since she had thought that he had died, you know, that Hope had killed him and that she wasn't going to see him again. And then now she thinks that she's dying. And so they're never going to get that moment. And so like, it was, and it was like, Hope had really had said that to him, like, this is her choice. You can't make this for her. And which is what he had to learn with Hope too, because it was Hope's choice to turn into the tribrid. And now it's Lizzie's turn. And so having that like father-daughter dance, it kind of really reminded me of Hope and Klaus's last moments. Like where they were saying goodbye.
I don't remember Hope and Klaus's last moments.
Well, they didn't dance, but they stood outside like that room, and he was like, what did he say? He says, like, more than all the oceans in the sky, like, you know.
Yeah, I remember now. Yep.
And she said, I will do right by your name. So I feel like that was very Hope and Klaus, and I really like the parallel to that. And I actually did enjoy that last scene with Cleo and Caleb and Ken, because I feel like that was probably the most emotional scene that they've pulled off. Like, I still don't care about them as a couple, but it was a good scene. They acted really well in it, and I really did like.
I mean, the writing was good. Yeah, the lines.
Yeah, the lines were good. The writing was good, and they pulled it off. Like Chris and Amino did a really good job. They actually made me care about them for like 5 seconds, you know, which I didn't before.
Was I the only one who thought the bus stop kiss that the bus stop kiss, right? The one in 105, right?
That Meath.
I saw Meath and I was like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
No. Okay. But then I also thought, oh, Ethan's gonna get hit by a bus, but that never happened either, anyways.
Seatbelts, everyone.
No, because it was very.
I thought he was gonna die. Okay, I thought he was gonna die. Worry.
No, I made a joke that was like, I said they shipping people on a bus like it's a fucking sport.
I also want to point out, I don't know if anybody remembers my fic where I wrote they were like Olympic gymnastics people.
Yeah.
I wrote that Mizzy scene at the end. I basically wrote it, but it was MG saying it to Lizzie.
Oh. I'm gonna kiss you now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they eating. They stealing.
And that's when I was listening to that, I was like, wait, I literally wrote this fucking scene.
I think that Meath and bus stop scene, I was just like, oh, this is the 105. Like, okay, first off, can we appreciate the fact that Thomas called that scene a famous scene?
Because it is.
Hello, Hampton.
Iconic.
Anyways, yeah, and then so even Danielle called it epic, but like then we had Meathan standing there, and I swear to God, I thought they were gonna kiss. Like I was
it
like,
shouldn't.
Nigel's waiting.
I was. No, but like the scene was so amazing, and then he said, then when you know he mentioned Lizzie, I'm like, why are you ruining my moment?
I enjoyed it.
And then they were like, oh, that girl is so confusing or whatever.
Like, I'm like, why can't y'all just kiss each other?
I was half expecting someone to come and get them and be like, no, Ethan, you can't leave or whatever because Lizzie's going to die or something. But I mean, like, we do think Ethan is dying. So, like, he's got to be coming back. Right?
Yeah, because it's probably in the finale.
Yeah.
Because Lee was filming till the last day too, but
yeah, you know what I think is funny is they had this whole party. Lizzie is dying. It was just a mention of the fact of her sisters. Like, oh, I just got to call my sister, and it was like, I don't know. It was just funny, and
I also really enjoyed the Alaric and Lizzie scene in the hallway with the dance. I know it reminds me of something. I can't remember what it reminds me of, but I cried. I was like, and that's when the point where I like looked at the camera. And I was like, I'm gonna fucking miss this show. That's literally what like I said that I was like, I'm gonna miss. Like, it's like those weird moments when you're watching it and you're knowing now that we're watching the final three episodes and this is like this could be the end of the show. You really like cling on to certain moments, and I guess maybe that's why I really enjoyed this episode, because I'm kind of like clinging on to those moments, knowing that this is the last bit that we're going to have for however long, or if we ever get picked up or whatever. And I have to say that scene between Lizzie and Alaric is one of them. But also weirdly enough, the scene when Lizzie and Hope were walking in.
Yeah.
That was cute. Arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I just want to point out, do you guys remember 111, which was the slug episode, how Lizzie and Josie walked in?
Linking arms? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't
like his stuff in the episode. I liked when the goddess was, like, explaining why Landon. Because yeah. I think that's literally his whole character. The writers... No one understand who he is, so why they can put this on camera? That they literally like they know who he is, they know what he represents, and that was actually a beautiful writing for who Landon is as character, as a person. And yeah. I was tearing up because my son deserves better. I literally like
because we've always like people are always like, oh, he always leaves and he's so selfish and blah blah blah. And like, this just basically proves everything that we've been saying for the last
like shut years. Up. Like, just please, like, shut up. Like, I hate that shit so much. because can we just calculate the amount of times y'all Faith left? I'm so tired of this Landon thing. Like, Landon's the only one that gets dissected because now bitches got degrees in filmology. Like, now let's dissect fucking scenes. Y'all blow me. I'm so mad right now. Y'all not even worth my time. Like, y'all not even worth my time. Like, the breath that I wasted is just truly immaculate. Like, I honestly just can't believe it. Like, somehow, some way, every time I talk, it comes back to Landon. Like, that's why we need to move to different. Oh, like, how am I supposed to go to sleep? Like, I was so excited to edit this episode tonight. I'm not doing it. I'm going to bed. I don't even want to record Buffy. I'm going to bed. This Landon, like, every Landon scene is a slap in my face. It's always a slap in my face. A slap. It's a slap in every Landon Stan's face. Every time. Like.
Okay. Okay. Can we talk about Gumball making an appearance?
I was like, there is no way.
I was like, it's sad because Landon don't know who he is, you know?
That was for me.
They jiggled. They made me jiggle, honestly.
that was one of the only chuckles I got. And then when Jen told Aurora, like, haha, you got played. Like, I was just, that was one of the iconic things, but I don't know. No, what's funny, though, what took me out was when the ferryman came in and broke the glass bottle or something like that, and everybody in the bar looked back like with the girl with the sunglasses. I'm like,
talked, and everyone was just like,
right. I'm like, she had her sunglasses on. I said, sis, it's not sunny in Limbo. Take them shit off. Take them shits off, ma'am. Why you got them shades on? Please stop. But I mean, that was probably the highlights. Any other scenes that y'all liked? I mean,
I liked the Lizzie and Hope stuff. Like when Hope, they had that heart to heart, and they was talking. Hope, Lizzie was just like, "Oh, MG said that he loved me," and then Hope's like expression, she was like so happy for her, but she was also like, "Okay, like once you figure it out, things are gonna change," because that's exactly what happened to Hope. Like when she figured out, as soon as she loved Landon, and then like things changed and. It was like full circle because they had, like, at the beginning of the season, they had talked about, like, Lizzie had talked about wanting a love like Handon's. And so, like, now this was kind of like her realizing that. And, like, to her character, it doesn't matter whether or not we like it or not, but to her character, that's where it's been, you know, progressing to.
Didn't I say Lizzie was afraid?
Yeah,
you did.
I said that when we were, it was a podcast episode with Pia. I remember I said that she's so quick to jump into relationships that she was just afraid to. And I, Miss Jenny Boyd, we had to talk because that scene that was supposed to be finished, anyways.
And then it got interrupted by Cleo.
Son of a bitch.
Yo, come on, man. I can't have shit in this house.
I know she was going through shit, but
she going temporarily stress for Landon, who Caleb basically said not to save, and then all of them just for Landon to bring him back. Once again, Landon's okay, a miracle.
But the fact that Cleo didn't give in and give Hope.
I was shocked. I kept saying, go ahead, just call, just go to Hope. Like, and I thought that every time, like, because Hope was giving a speech with the drink, I thought that she was going to, like, fucking vanish and disappear or something. So I was waiting for it. And then she said, when she started to cry, I was like, oh, shit, she is going to do it. And then she said, it's your eyes. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, I was literally making a tweet, not Cleo and Caleb both betraying Hope, but, like, she didn't.
They didn't, no. I thought that they were going to, like, I honestly thought they were going to. Hope was doing this whole speech, and then, you know, like, and you could hear, I actually really liked the way that they did that, having Hope's speech in the background mixed in with this whole, like, Cleo having to make a decision, because she had to make that decision before. Remember when she had stabbed Hope, because she thought that was the only way to do it, but yet now, all of a sudden, she's faced with this decision, and she basically gave up Caleb in order to protect Hope, because she knew that it was like, you have to, Okay, so it's kind of like how Hope had to kill Landon, even though obviously Hope was in love with Landon. But, like, you have to kill the one to save the many. It's that whole, like, train dilemma that MG had brought up, like, you know, in season three or
213.
Whatever.
Kind of like 213, too.
And, or season two. And so, like, it's that whole dilemma again. Okay. Cleo being a fury. Okay, I had called, like, a fate. Or I called the Oracle part. But the fate, but her being a fury is, oh, my God, I didn't even think about that. And I'm, like, that's awesome. Like, that's okay, because like synopsis for next one is that she gets vengeance, so she's a vengeance fury, which I am so ready for that, because like she's always been so in control of her powers, and so like for her to go absolutely like crazy is gonna be, I'm gonna really like that. Of course everyone will forgive her, unlike they did with Hope, but you know, because everyone will allow her to mourn Caleb's death. We're going to be ranting about that next episode. I guarantee you guys.
Yeah. I mean, next episode is supposed to be the episode, not even the finale. So I'm waiting something big to happen, because probably that's episode 20. Probably episode 20 is just people. Yeah. Just kumbaya episode.
Oh, so yeah. What I'm thinking about with this whole limbo thing is all of Joseph's cryptic tweets. If we really do get Klaus back, that
because of Landon.
Landon and Klaus are going to have scenes. And I have been wanting Landon to meet
Dad
since the freaking beginning. And I will go out happy. I seriously will. Like, whatever happens. I'm still going to fight for the show. Like, it's like, but we'll see. I think I'm more like, because I saw it coming and I knew that they were going to do it. Like I said from the beginning that they're literally pulling a Bonnie 2.0 with the whole like anchor, but Landon's the anchor to the piece rather than the anchor to the other side. So.
He really is the Bonnie of Legacies though, because Bonnie was treated like shit throughout the entire TVD seasons too. And Landon is, he's the Bonnie of...
And I know there's going to be people who are like, oh, Landon was... You see, it just shows that you don't watch the show, because Landon was not treated well at all. And I agree. I like this episode, but I do agree that Landon's being treated like complete shit. I'm not necessarily going to, like, talk about it as much, because I don't want to leave, you know, whatever. But at this point, I'm just used to it and I'm expecting it, and I'm not going to expect anything else of it.
We just expect him to be mistreated and to, you know, not get the ending that he deserves. So like we're.
And knowing that the show was supposed to continue just makes me even more frustrated, but.
Yeah.
At this point, it is what it is. I will fight for my show. I will fight for the crew. I will fight for the cast, because that's what they deserve.
They're
and
still our characters. Yeah. Like, when Hope first came on the screen, I was just like, oh my God, I really missed her. And like to know that we're not going to get new Hope stuff on our screens every week is just like, or every 3 weeks is sad for me, because like she's my comfort character, and I don't think there's ever going to be a character like her again. Like she's just like, I don't know, it's hard, it's going to be hard to say goodbye to her.
Yeah
and then and with Landon being like me and Vic's comfort character, and also
it's disappointing, because we have been waiting for seasons.
I mean, if you think about it, yeah, Landon and Hope, neither one of them really got anything that, like, they're both, like, Landon's treated the worst, but then I would say Hope is the next worst treated.
Yeah, last season we're like, oh, we're gonna get Landon back, and then we get, like, half season with a fake Landon, and then we thought he was back, and then he was mad at Landon, and then he was back, and then he got killed, and now this season we're like, oh, so they're gonna get out of limbo and Hope gets her money back, and she got the money back and he gets stuck at limbo. And like They did nothing with him for 2 seasons.
It's like
nothing.
This is supposed to be Hope's show, and she's had traumatic. She hasn't had happiness her entire life, and they're gonna end it with her not being happy again. Like that's her whole life is just not being happy. Landon's whole life is just not being happy.
And accepting death. And Landon's arc is, you will always finish last.
Yes. Like you literally, you always gonna be. Forget it. You're always going to be left behind. You're always going to have to sacrifice for other people. And you're just going to have to accept that because that's literally the message they are saying, they are passing. Look, that's just, literally not good, not healthy. Like, you have to put yourself first.
It's so dumb. And the thing is that, like, it becomes to a point where you're just like, damn, now I see what people talk about because they don't know how to use Landon at all. And it's so sick. Because they have so many plots to use them in, and none of them hit the board. Like, oh my God, it's like a repeating fucking cycle of, yeah, man, how many times can I complain and it don't get to them? And I'm just sitting here and I'm just like, yes, if, you know, if we do get a season, another season, amazing. But that's not gonna fix the neglect for the previous 2 seasons. They're just gonna sugarcoat the shit and be like, okay, well, you actually were meant to be a fairy. Like, I just cannot do this shit. The fact that they thought I was going to care about this lady speaking about why the fuck she want to go to peace now? Why the fuck couldn't we hear this before?
Where's the explanation?
I could be hearing that there was a loophole before.
Yeah, where's the explanation about, okay, why did he lose his Phoenix powers? Why did the
Golden
Girl, it's all of these loose ends that are just never going to get.
All of these loose ends. We're going to end the show with never knowing why Landon and Hope was toxic to each other, or that little red herring. Why he lost his Phoenix powers?
Why was the Golden Girl? Why did Malivore take their hair?
Why was Landon a perfect vessel? What was Landon's full Phoenix powers? Because they had a book about a clown, but not a book about a Phoenix. Is all these fucking supernatural creatures already been here? Oh, why did, like, what was Landon doing in the prison world? Also, when he was also stuck in Malivore. Oh, he just was claustrophobic in? Okay.
How did Malivore get him?
Exactly. When did it happen? How long was it? We never even got the chance to see him react to certain situations. Nothing. Landon's always the one left out. But y'all can bring some random lady in to give her. She got a whole fucking fuss storyline before Landon does. That's so unfucking believable.
Okay, what happened with, also, side note, away from Hope and Landon, what happened with fucking Trudy and Ryan?
Yes, what happened to Clark? What happened to Trudy?
What's going on with all of that? Josie just fucking disappeared.
So this girl just
at a bakery for like 4 episodes.
Oh my God. This girl just learned about fucking vampires and supernatural creatures from Clark and they just live happy ever after. Like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, oh, well, Hope is just the biggest threat for Ken because when he kill her, he can rule. Like, you're not going to still be the most cared about person. Like, I'm sorry. So fucking dumb. Oh, Kronos. He's not going to get out of the fucking burial.
Okay, so what the fuck was Kronos how did gods exist during Malivore?
Exactly. And supposedly there's more because now we got this furry woman god. So how many gods are there? Oh, Kronos is supposed to be this big thing, which is why Liz and Aurora was breaking their fucking back to go to, and he's not probably going to make an appearance to the fight.
So Limbo existed for 10,000 years, and not one single person on the Vampire Diaries ever went to Limbo?
No. Like they just make shit up. They make shit up. They just make shit up. Like,
we could do, we're going to do a whole plot holes episode. when the entire thing is done and just have like, if that's going to be like a 3-hour episode from season 1 to season 4 of all of the plot holes and why these like storylines never got finished or brought up, you know?
Like, no, seriously, since you're talking about it, 10,000 years of Limbo, but like the previous Vampire Diaries universe, they were just never mentioned. Hell, peace. When did Limbo come into the equation? Was that Malivore not people's minds too? Why didn't Enzo go there? Like,
just... okay, the other side, Bonnie was an anchor to the other side. Wouldn't the other side be Limbo?
Probably.
Was Bonnie an anchor to Limbo, and then didn't her and Damon destroy it?
Like they wanted, they
wanted to the tie, other side.
They wanted to tie gods in so fucking bad. They wanted to tie gods into this thing so bad that it made no sense to the lore. And I'm just like, fuck me complaining about landing. I hope I could do that shit every day. But now you're messing up the Rimadari universe. Like, Legacy might as well just be its own universe at this point. Like,
well, Danielle always did say it was kind of like its own.
It literally is.
And I mean, I guess because it is its own show, it doesn't have to tie into Vampire Diaries and stuff. It just has like Easter eggs and things. We totally got off topic of the episode, but like, I don't know.
We have nothing to say about the episode. Literally. I mean, Ys probably have something to say, but like me and Aisha just pissed off.
I'm done.
Like I said, I was 50-50. I have things I like about it. And things, yeah. Like the Aurora and Ken stuff, I could just, no. Like now she's sleeping with him. Like,
Aurora is just another thing that pissed me off.
She rethought that she was about to be God's side piece. Like,
and Jen calling her out is hilarious.
Dumb.
I really like Jen. Jen is such a good character, and we could have had so much more of her. No. And okay, can we talk about the Ben and Jed angst?
Oh, that was the best part of the episode.
Yeah,
best part. Like the fact that Ben was so, I mean, like Ben and Jed, like, oh my god. And then Jed was like, you know, you want to watch me shift, like this is what you're gonna have to accept me as. And Ben was like, it won't hurt me, nothing can hurt me. Like, they're so, that's the only couple that I'm getting fed for.
And like, Finch was like kind of like Jed's therapist there. Like,
yeah.
It was so nice to see Finch again. I was so happy.
Yes.
But like, what is Finch doing? Like, what, you know?
Yeah. They literally made her just Josie's girlfriend.
So just a relationship counselor. Like, how is she feeling about losing Josie? Like, nothing, yo. She was going on a cake trip for a long minute.
Okay, so when they threw the party, does everyone know that Lizzie is dying? Or was it just like, hey,
when did they get a chance to do this but not notice? Wait, hold on. That is even more dumb. How did they have enough time to do that? But also, they called everybody there, but they didn't realize that Cleo was missing? They obviously must have summoned everybody for the party. So why did they not notice that Cleo and Caleb was, like, Mitch missing? They just were like, oh, they probably fucking? Like what? y'all just don't mean, y'all be making no fucking sense.
No, they just, it's just any excuse
any excuse. Like, it just, there's no way. They just throwing fucking parties out of nowhere, but they couldn't even throw a fucking party for Landon, like, or a funeral for Landon. Like, I just don't.
It's kind of like the same party that they threw for Hope before she became a tribrid.
Like, they throwing parties like it's a fucking fiesta. Like, I just, how did Cleo even know that Ethan and MGNO was in the kitchen? Like, did she just conveniently go there and stumble upon him? Like, how she knew they was in the kitchen?
She probably just stumbled upon them.
Yeah, probably.
Like, MG was making sandwiches.
Right, McG's. I don't even know what that was. Was it cheese? Cheese?
It's bad. Oh, really pretty. Bad. Yeah, I mean, she was.
Okay, no. Lizzie's shirt in this episode?
That was cute.
Phenomenal. Oh my god, it was, I fucking love that shirt. Jennifer.
Yeah, I mean, like, the outfit.
Great job, bestie.
They snapped.
It's sad, honestly.
It's sad, like, just I'm sad. So my computer froze. I got my computer froze, like, dead ass. Like,
what are we gonna rant about when the show is over?
I think I can rant about being at peace. I think we'll be fed with Stranger Things for his kill.
I mean, we are high on Lumex every day.
Oh, Lumex and also Colette. Like, I'm good.
Yeah, first Q is going on June 10th on Netflix, guys. Stream is a quiz show with the lesbian couple.
I saw someone in Iz's live today ask if we were still gonna have the name Hendon Weekly, and yes, we are. I know you probably answered that, but
yeah.
Yes, we are.
I mean, it's what started us. We're not gonna just like change names.
Yeah.
That was a job. That was me when my ring light hit my computer. I was like, oh. From the top, make it fly. That's all.
we're not going to change our name. We're the Hendon Weekly. That's who we are.
Yeah, we're going to be Hendon everything. Like, we're still going to do Hendon episodes.
You know us as the Hendon Weekly. We're going to be the Hendon Weekly for as long as we do this. Not necessarily going to be making just legacy videos, because we do want to branch out, especially with the show being over. But this way we can reach more audience and, you know, get, you know, this is, I love doing this podcast. I don't think I ever want to stop. And I did have moments like, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, I know you all know this, but I did have moments where I didn't want to, but I'm so glad that I did stick to this. To this podcast, because I don't know where I would be without it, you know. And the show has a huge part of that, so that's why we're going to always be the Hannah Weekly.
Yeah. So.
Yep, exactly. Do you want to talk about the promo?
I honestly didn't watch it. What?
No, it was just pictures, and I mean, it was just visions of Cleola. She's about to do revenge. Hope getting ready to fight with a sword. I don't remember anything.
Hope looks amazing in that white.
Yeah, she's in white.
She does look in white.
She looks delicious.
I am so gay.
Period.
I feel like we've been saying that a lot lately.
I mean, it's true.
It is true.
It's the fact that, look, the podcast and the fandom made, like, all of us so much, like,
no, the confident fact
on our sexuality, too.
This show, okay, I started this show as a straight person.
Same, bitch, same. I'm
fucking lesbian.
is literally Danielle's turning your kids gay. Danielle turning your kids gay.
Thinking you were
Danielle. Thanks, bestie.
Hey, you haven't returned
anymore. You are gay!
Danielle Rose turning kids gay.
That's a shout out. Right. Danielle? But yeah, so are we
Lulu had a chokehold on me too.
Oh yeah, she the choke. Oh, I remember that when the reaction. That was like the biggest Lulu stand I fear.
I also started the show thinking that I was straight, but I'm not.
And now you have literally a girlfriend, so that's
it. Yeah.
Honestly. That's they my
parents. Right in front of our cake.
Right?
I just thought you were sitting here on Twitter just like...
Every time, no, when Iz posted that video of that guy like staring, like looking back, I laugh every fucking time, like...
I just posted it. I just posted it too. It was, they couldn't see it.
Yeah, literally throwing the cell phone.
Really, I said...
Oh yeah, that one. Listen, I kid you not. It sends me into an orbit every fucking time. Because
there's another another meme that I use that I freaking love. I gotta freaking find it.
Okay, we're tame on the timeline. Okay, we are tame on the timeline.
Right.
And every time you guys are like, "Oh no,"
you're tame on a timeline. So y'all wild in the group chat by yourselves.
Yep.
I am totally respectful. And
we are tame and respectful on the timeline.
Exactly.
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
I do not do any comments.
I mean, I'm just excited for meeting Danielle on July 3rd because.
Oh, yes. July 3rd? We're going to eat.
This video? Hey, this one?
One day.
Nice right now.
Stop! No, honestly, like, I'm so mad that I just don't even, like, I was, oh my god. This is the struggles I gotta do for being a landing stand, like, at this point.
Literally.
Yeah, I hope my rant was satisfactory, like, you know, shout outs to you.
I know Pia was waiting for it.
I hope it's to satisfactory, trust me, I'll be doing more. When I do my own video, oh hell's gonna break loose with that one.
Well, I'm about to make a hope video after what happened on my live today. I'm just gonna.
Oh. All right, guys.
Yeah, be on the lookout for that, peoples.
Yes.
We'll
still be
and go to Nash for more land and rents.
Oh, yes. Trust me. Season 3 and 4 is on its way after the show is done, so I can fully ponder my thoughts while I grind.
And big, big thank you to Iz for editing tonight's episode.
Yes.
Our warrior.
Robin's and Nino
Six. Different memes and different editing styles.
Yeah, yes.
I've been watching. I have a lot of memes in mind, so get ready for it.
Yes. I'm excited.
Especially you, Naj.
What?
My MVP's Lizzie. I don't know. I loved Lizzie this episode. First of all, Jenny looked freaking beautiful. And I just love the whole thing with Lizzie and Hope and everything. My favorite scene, I'm gonna have to go with the Alaric and Lizzie dance. I think that's the only one that really sticks out to me. Either that one or the Mizzy at the end, but I think I had a Mizzy last episode or something. But yeah, so those are mine.
My MVP is MG. Once again, like, this whole thing of him, like, being a hero this whole season, you finally get to see it in play, because he tried everything essentially to get Ethan into safety, which, and I'll come, I don't think it's going to work, because Ethan want to come back, you know, he's stubborn. But I did love to see that he cares about Ethan so much that he wants to do whatever he could to get Ethan safely, you know, such as the therapy box and also getting him the bus ticket. It really shows that, you know, MG, once again, wants to protect anybody, still keeping up to his hero duty, because he can't relate to Ethan, because, you know, he wants to be a hero. Obviously, like, Ethan wants to be a superhero. So, you know, it was a good little like, thing to, like, end their little friendship or whatever the case may be, because, once again, I am a Methan, so I ate that shit up. Favorite scene is probably Jed and Ben when I'm at towards the end, where Jed asks, you know, Ben, can he watch him, like, you know, ship during the full moon? I think that's such a personal thing, kind of a vulnerability moment, you know, that, you know, Jed feels comfortable enough to, like, have Ben watch him, such a vulnerable, like, moment of his life, which is, you know, turning to a werewolf and realizing that it's not a curse. It's something that he's accepted as his own. I really appreciated that scene, and it really shows that they're just, they, no, nothing him like them, like, they said this whole episode.
My MVP is Landon, because he's a pure baby, and the fact that, like, the first thing he did with his powers was go and fulfill his promise to Ted just goes to show you how, like, selfless he actually is, and, like, everything that she was saying is everything that he is despite his upbringing and everything. And so he is my MVP. My favorite scene is, I'm going to agree with is the Lizzie and Alaric scene, because I really, really love the way that was done. I thought it was super sweet. And I thought it was what Lizzie kind of needed in order to be okay with her choice.
Okay, my MVP is me, because I survived this episode. And... my favorite scene is the goddess describing Landon as a character, as a person. I'm serious, the MVP is me. Literally, nobody did anything for me this episode.
I should have said that shit too. I said our love poem to Landon. That was not even that. The guy don't exist. That's just me and Vince love letter to Landon.
Exactly. That's just us. Literally, I say, like, she's just like me. She's literally just like me.
She's a Landon stand through and through. Like, bitch, you gotta get beside, because me and Vince are already number one. So you can go to peace, but peace your ass away from Landon. That's all I gotta say.
Exactly.
Like, bye. But yes, that was our discussion and review of Legacies 4/18. Let us know what you like and dislike about the episode. What is your favorite scenes? Who's your MVP? And how excited you are for the promo for next week. And until next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Not the dab.